little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
So we're going to break into a new curriculum area. So we're moving on to renal disease. And first of all, we're dealing with a problem area that a lot of GPs don't necessarily regard as being a genuine pathology. So chronic kidney disease, quite a contentious area, and it's a fairly new phenomenon. And there's a great diversity in the way that we talk about chronic kidney disease with our patients. So we're just going to share some ideas and some thoughts about how we talk to our patients about chronic kidney disease at this stage. So we're going to ask Alf, our next patient, some red flag questions because his latest eGFR was 45. So Alf, you've come in. Your latest kidney function test showed a bit of a change in your kidneys, maybe a little bit of wear and tear, and it'd be helpful for me to ask some questions to make sure that we don't need to be concerned about this at all. Can I check, do you use any anti-inflammatory painkillers, aspirin and naproxen and that sort of family of medication?
Oh, I mean, I take aspirin every day.
Okay.
I just buy that myself, the mini aspirin, baby aspirin.
That's the 75 milligram aspirin. Mm-hmm. And is there a particular reason for using that at the moment?
I guess I just thought it was helpful, you know, as I'm getting on a bit, you know, something I can do to help my health.
It might be worthwhile us talking about the pros and cons of using aspirin, but I think that we used to recommend it as a preventative measure, but I think no longer do we think it's a particularly helpful or useful preventative measure for protecting your heart, unless you've already had a heart attack or you've got definite problems with your blood vessels. So we can maybe go into that again if you'd like before you leave the room today. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Can I check, do you get any chest pain at all when you exert yourself?
No.
Or any pain in your legs when you walk?
No.
How far can you walk?
Oh, I mean, I do a lot of walking, doctor. I mean, you know, 10 miles, 12 miles, 15 miles, hills.
Good. Not a problem then, obviously. Okay. And have we ever assessed your future risk of having strokes or heart attacks?
Well, I come for the health check.
Mm-hmm. And so traditionally that would normally involve a test of your cholesterol numbers and perhaps an average blood glucose test. Have you had those sort of things done before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how often is that health check thing? I mean, it's every few years.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so depending on the information that you've got from Alf and the information that you already know, you might provide some information along these sorts of lines. So, Alf, your kidneys show a little wear and tear. We're going to change your eGFR on this occasion. So this is not what you're going to say to Alf, but we're going to change his eGFR rather than 45, which is very borderline. We're going to make it a little bit more definite, and we're going to call it 35. So you've got a minor issue with your kidneys, and we call that chronic kidney disease stage 3, or CKD3. And to be fair, it is probably a very minor problem in itself, and some doctors can't even agree that it's a problem, a real problem. But what it does signify to me is that we probably do need to be careful about other medication that we give to you, and we need to keep an eye on your kidney numbers on a regular basis. To be fair, your chances of progressing to need renal dialysis or have kidney failure is remote. So if you want to know the numbers to that, I could give you those. Would that be helpful to you at this stage?
Well, not if it's rare. I trust what you're saying, doctor.
Okay. So probably what we should do is to keep an eye on your kidney function at least once a year, if that would be okay with you.
What, blood test?
Yeah.
Okay.
Would that be all right? And probably your blood pressure at the same stage. We've already got your cholesterol numbers. So what we could do, or what you could do, is to go through on a website here what your own individual risk is of heart attacks and strokes, knowing what your cholesterol numbers and your blood pressure and your weight are. And then once you've done that, maybe we could talk about any lifestyle changes that you're happy to think about mm-hmm. taking. Does that sound like something you'd be happy to do?
And what's the website, doctor?
So if you Google the absolute CVD risk benefit calculator, you'll go to the Best Science Medicine website and you'll find a calculator that is adapted for use in the UK, providing you click on Q-Risk 2. Now, Q-Risk 2 is data that was collected in the United Kingdom and therefore tells you about your risk related to the people in the United Kingdom. So that's quite a useful risk calculator. I don't know what you're like on a computer. Are you able to use a computer? Do you access anything online or on the internet?
Yes, yeah, I have a tablet.
So one alternative is that I could give you this sheet here today, which has got all your numbers on, including your height and your weight and your cholesterol numbers and your systolic or your top blood pressure. Mm. And you can take those numbers and put them into the computer program.
Okay.
And then click on Q-Risk 2, put all your numbers in there, and it'll tell you what your future risk over the next 10 years is of having a heart attack or a stroke or getting angina. And then if you want to click on various different buttons to demonstrate what you're happy to do to change your lifestyle, then it will also tell you how much help those lifestyle changes will give to you, how much benefit they'll give you, and how much they'll reduce your risk. So, for example, you might be interested in lowering your blood pressure. You might be interested in taking a statin. So various different options. If you click on all of those, or taking more exercise or changing your diet, all of those changes in your lifestyle will have an impact that you, and it's helpful to know for your future lifestyle changes. But if you prefer to make another appointment to come in and see my nurse about this, my nurse can then take you through those numbers and you can experiment with her as to what numbers would be worthwhile numbers for you in terms of lifestyle changes. So she could help you make that decision if you prefer to do it that way.
Okay.
What do you think?
I mean, I'll just have a look first, I think, and then... I mean, I don't really see that my health's much of a problem at the minute, given how fit I am. So, I mean, I know I'm getting on a bit, but, I mean, you're saying this kidney thing's not that serious, so I'll probably just have a look at the website and then just give it a bit of time, you know, get the blood test each year.
We're going to safety net now for Alf, because he's on one or two different medications as well, which rather complicate the issue. And you're going to safety net me, and I'm now Alf. So perhaps you could give me some safety net information.
So, Alf, do you still have that booklet I gave you that contains information about the medicines that you need to stop?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you mentioned before that aspirin wouldn't be a good idea. So perhaps after what you've said, I think I'll stop taking the aspirin. I kind of thought it was a good idea, but that's because I read something in the Daily Mail about it at the time. So I'll stop doing that. But, yeah, I'm still taking the lisinopril for my blood pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I suppose it's just worth remembering what we call the sick day rules. And if you have an illness, especially if you've got any fever, high temperature, vomiting or diarrhea, where you might be getting a bit dehydrated, these are the times where, because of the way your kidneys are working at the minute, if you were to be unwell and dehydrated, if you still take that lisinopril during those periods, your kidney function could actually get worse. So it's important to remember during any illness, even if it's rare that you do get diarrhoea and vomiting, try and remember to stop your lisinopril during those episodes.
Okay, so if I've got diarrhoea or vomiting or a fever that's going on for longer than 24 hours, I need to just stop the lisinopril and maybe give you a call to let you know I've done that. Is that about right?
Yeah, you could give the practice a call and let us know that you've sort of stopped it, and then presuming that you get better in a few days from the diarrhoea and vomiting, that would be fine. If it was going on for, you know, a while, say a week or more with the diarrhoea, you know, and you were struggling to really keep up your fluid intake, we might be best to get you in for a blood test and just check what your kidneys are doing.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing.